Hey everyone, and welcome to Terror Tea. I'm your host Tara, and today we are finally covering Scream 2022. It has taken me forever to get this episode done because there are so many Easter eggs and behind the scenes that have come out. It has felt like every time I have sat down to actually record this episode, more stuff has come out. So I think I have everything. I've even read the script that came out. I've tried to get as much info. I thought this episode was gonna be like all of our other, like right after coming out in theater episodes where I would just pop in, tell you about the movie, tell you my thoughts, and just go on with it. But no, it's Scream, so of course that's not the case. I'm gonna go into like full detail about this movie, so I'm going to spoil the shit out of it. If you have not seen Scream, and I'm talking about Scream 2022, Scream 5, 5 Cream if you know, like if you have not seen it, why are you listening right now? I'm going to spoil the shit out of this movie for you. It's not like my other episode where it was a brief, like no spoilers. I put no spoilers in the title. If you're listening to this episode and you haven't seen the movie, it's not my fault if you get spoiled. So let's jump into this. So the movie begins, of course, with a phone ringing. Tara is telling her friend Amber that she needs to come over, and Amber's like, you gotta sweeten the deal, so she offers the open liquor cabinet. Amber says she's heading over, the house phone is still ringing. Tara answers it, and we hear the voice. It's Ghostface on the lawn. He asks for her mom, Christine, and says he's Charlie from Group. We can assume Charlie is a nod to Scream 4. If you hear my cat meowing, I apologize. He's a talker. And he thinks when he hears me talking that I'm talking to him, even though he has no opinion of Scream. So Tara tells Charlie that she'll tell her mom that he called as soon as he tells her what group she's in. Is it like Alcoholics Anonymous, Narcotics Anonymous, Gamblers Anonymous? So obviously her mom has some issues. She texts Amber saying that she thinks she's on the phone with her mom's new boyfriend. She asks him what her mom says about her, and he's like, oh, she loves her very much. You know, you love movies and you both like horror movies. He says that her mom wants to know what her favorite scary movie is, but of course he says it like Ghostface. Tara thinks about it for a second and she picks The Babadook, which, her name is Tara, my name is Tara. I would not have said The Babadook. Again, this is one of those episodes that we're gonna have to get into at a later date, but my horror hot take is that I absolutely hate The Babadook. It is just not a good movie for me. But anyways, so Ghostface asks, you know, that sounds a little fancy pants, and she tells him, well, it's elevated horror. Scary but complex emotional thematic undertones, and he tells her it sounds boring and asks if she's seen Stab. She says she saw it once at a sleepover when she was like 12. He says that her mom loves Stab and talks about it all the time at group. And I kept thinking, like, who would do that? But then I really thought about it. I'm like, I talk about horror movies all the time. I probably would. Like, I'm in therapy and I talk to my therapist about horror movies. Granted, I have a horror podcast, so it seems a little bit more legit for me to be talking about horror movies. But, like, I talk about them with everybody. So I guess, yeah, that didn't seem that far-fetched when I thought about it. So he asks her how well she knows the original, and she's like, oh, it's super 90s. Everybody had weird hair. And he asks if she remembers the beginning, you know, a girl who's home alone, who answers a wrong number and starts talking with the killer who makes her play a game. He asks her if she wants to play a game as she hangs up. She listens around the house, makes sure that the doors are locked. She checks the windows, and Amber asks if she's okay when the phone rings again. Amber texts her saying that she should answer the phone, and Tara asks how she knew the phone was ringing and gets a text back saying this isn't Amber. She goes to call 911 and gets another text saying answer the phone or Amber dies. Tara grabs the phone telling Amber it's not funny, and Ghostface says he told her this isn't Amber. She gets a link to a video recording of Amber getting ready. Now, this is something that I have seen where people are like, oh, how do they pull this off? It's not a live video. It is a pre-recorded video that they sent a link to for her to watch. Like, I guess you could equate it with sending an iCloud link, because it's not live. And a lot of people are like, it's a live video. How did they pull this off? Like, oh, this is weird. It's not. It's not live. So he says that Amber left her phone lying around, so it was super easy to clone her phone. And I feel like saying cloning the phone ages the movie a bit, because that's what happened in the first one. You can get a texting app that spoofs your number to look like anybody's phone number. Like, I feel like that's a well-known thing. Like, you can make your phone number look like anybody's. So why did we have to go with this whole, like, clone thing? Like, I hated that line and I wish it was taken out. He says he wants to play Stab Movie Trivia 3 rounds. He says that Amber's parents aren't home and he can be in that room in 15 seconds. He offers a warm-up question and Tara's like, I don't know these movies. She's like, tell me about It Follows, Hereditary, or The Witch. And I remember watching Scream as a kid and like those movies, those references, was like, oh yeah, those are older movies, like whatever. But hearing like It Follows, Hereditary, and The Witch, I was like, oh, these are all like recent movies. I'm like, this is what it must have felt like in 96 being in the theater, hearing like movies you grew up with or you watched younger being name dropped, because it was just a weird like, oh yeah, we're gonna talk about those movies too. So Ghostface asks who was introduced as the main character, which Tara hesitates for a second, then she's like, oh, it's Sidney Prescott, who lived on Elm, which I don't believe was ever established. And we see Elm Street later and it's literally in the middle of the city. Sidney doesn't live in the middle of the city. Sidney lives on a hill. There was some weird, like, I'm getting very nitpicky and I will get even more nitpicky when we get into the Stab stuff. Spoilers, I loved this movie. I think it's fantastic. But there are some weird things that if you are a big Scream fan, you're just like, wait a minute. But if you are a casual Scream fan, and I'm not calling you a casual, my sister and I had this conversation when we were talking because we saw Scream 5 together and we were talking about the movie. Can I help you? I told y'all he's a talker. Anyways, we were talking about the movie and I said, you know, for a casual person, and she was like, bitch, are you calling me a casual? And I was just like, first of all, pump the brakes. Like, no, relax. So if you are someone who is not as into Scream as myself or other people who really like horror movies, then it may be like a no big deal. Like you're like, oh, she lived on Elm. It's a nod to Wes Craven. That's exactly what it's supposed to be. Those of us that are like, wait a minute, did she live on Elm? And truly, I haven't looked to see if that was the name of the street, like if they showed it in the original Scream, because we do see her getting off the bus. But like, she lived a little out. She didn't live right off of like the center of town. So I don't know. Maybe it's a real long street. Who knows? Anyways, I'm getting so off topic. This is why I have to type up a script, people, because I will literally ramble and I will just get so off track. I don't remember where my point was. So I literally, part of what takes me so long to make these episodes is I type up exactly like a roundabout thing of what I'm going to say because I talk too much. Can't you tell? He's like, okay, question one. She's like, no, I got that right. That should count. He's like, anybody could have gotten that right because Sydney's in every movie but the last one. However, she's not. As far as we know, which is as of this exact moment in the movie, if you have seen all of them, then there are 7 Stab movies. We knew about the first one in Scream 2. Scream 3, they were filming Stab 3, so we know there's Stab 2, Stab 3. And then in Scream 4, we see clips from 6 and 7. So we know there are 7 movies. And they make a point to say in Scream 4, Sydney was in the first 3, but threatened to sue if they used her story. So who knows what 4 is about, because it's not about Scream 4. 5 has time travel, they consider it the worst. And 6 has the CW freeform girls, and we don't know really much else. And then Stab 7 has the beginning of Stab 6, and then the blonde. That's all we know. So if Sydney was in all but the last one, that's not possible based on what we've already been told. And there's some other weird stuff with the Stab movies that we will get into as well. Plus, based on what we find out with the Stab movies, there is no movie about Jill and Charlie. So their whole quest to be famous failed because there's no movie about them. No one gives a flying fuck about them. Ghostface asks who wrote the original book that the Stab movies are based on. And Tara's like, oh, I know, it's that chick from TV. And Ghostface is like, the chick from TV is not going to work. Which I thought was great. She finally remembers that it's Gail Weathers. And he asks, then who played the dumb bitch in Stab 1 who answers the phone and gets carved up by the killer? Tara doesn't know, so she starts Googling it. And he's like, a non-answer is a wrong answer. We look and she pulls up the fucking cast list. And I'm just like, she's cheating. Like, what the fuck? And like, Ghostface doesn't say, like, I can see you looking up the cast list. So like, is he not watching her? Like, normally they're watching them. So I don't know, I had questions. If you look and you pay close attention, you'll see that Vince Vaughn plays Stu and Alicia Silverstone plays Tatum, and Jennifer Jolie, of course, played Gail all the way at the beginning, which is a nod to Stab 3. So she guessed Heather Graham because that's who played Casey in Stab. And so then he says the final question is, who is the killer in Stab 1? She answers Billy Loomis, who is Sydney's boyfriend, played by Luke Wilson. She's like, haha, fuck you, I got it right. And he's like, no, the killers in Stab 1 are Billy Loomis and Stu Mocker. He's like, someone's gonna die now. And we see the video of Amber with someone outside her window holding a knife. So Tara puts the phone down, she grabs a knife to run out and save Amber. She opens the door, and Ghostface is literally right there with a knife and slices her in the stomach. She punches him in the face, closes the door on him. She's hitting a button on her phone to try to lock. It's like a little security app that's gonna automatically lock the doors. She calls the police from this app while Ghostface is like beating the hell out of this door. Suddenly, the doors unlock. She locks them back and they unlock again. A few more times it happens, and then Ghostface calls asking a bonus question. Does she think he made it in the house? Now, my only gripe with Jenna Ortega in this movie is the way she does this like gaspy, like freaking out sound. But like, she did this weird gaspy thing in the trailer that also bothered me. And I don't know if it's because her character is asthmatic or what, but it drives me crazy. And so like, I really, really hated that. And of course that's all that happens. She's like sitting there gasping while it's like locking and unlocking the doors. So he's asking her, you know, do you think I made it in the house? She backs up into Ghostface, who stabs her in the stomach. He throws her on the ground and stomps on her fucking ankle, breaking it. It was real gross. Couldn't look. He climbs on top of her and he goes to stab her, but she puts her hands up and he stabs right through her hand, just like in Scream 4. And he's like still trying to like shove her stabbed hand with the blade in her chest. And I was just like, is he gonna pin her hand to her chest? Like, it was freaking me out. So she ends up kicking him away. She tries to crawl away. Ghostface gets up, comes after her, and we hear the police arriving. He stabs her, turns her over so she's facing him, and it looks like he's gonna slice her throat when we get a title card. I will say the music in this movie, Marco Beltrami was the original composer for the first four films. He is not the composer in this. Instead, it's Brian Tyler, who did Ready or Not with Radio Silence. He's done some other stuff too, don't get me wrong, that's not his only work. But it is so good in this movie. Like, I need to add this to my like horror scores playlist. The fact that I haven't yet is a tragedy, because it is so good. We cut to a bowling alley in Modesto. We have Sam, she's taking her medicine, and a man walks up to her asking her what she took. It's her boyfriend, Richie. And she's like, oh, they're your boner pills. Good luck getting it up now. And he's like, you're my boner pills. And thankfully she laughs and cringes and they both realize how terrible that was. Cause I was just like, oh no, like, please God, no. They kiss, he asks her if she's okay. She says yes. And then we see Wes is trying to call Sam's phone. She doesn't answer, but then she gets a text saying it's about Tara. She calls him back and he tells her that Tara was attacked and is in bad shape. He says that she was stabbed and went through surgery. Sam tells him that she's on her way and asks if they know who did it. And Wes is like, it's best if you just come here first. And she presses and she's like, no, what's going on? And he tells her that Tara told them that it was someone in a ghost face mask. She tells Richie that she's gotta go. He decides he's gonna go with her. So we cut to Woodsboro High. There's an announcement over the PA system that all after school activities have been canceled due to public concern. Pay attention to that voice and I'll tell you who it is during the cameos at the end. Wes tells Amber and Mindy that Sam is on her way, which Amber is not happy about. Liv and Chad come up as well, and we have our kind of Fountain-esque scene. Chad is wanting to move their relationship to the next level by having her accept his location following request so they can stay safe. She says, oh great, so you could stalk me like a jealous boyfriend? He's like, yeah, and then you could stalk me like a jealous boyfriend. Like, he thinks this is a fantastic idea, and this is the next step that he wants to go to. And Amber's like, is this because you guys aren't having sex? Wes tells her that it's not safe because there's a psycho out there, and now is the time to get off social media, tape over your cameras, turn off GPS. Chad calls Wes Edward Snowden and tells him that his mom just interrogated him. His mom is Deputy Judy, who has now been promoted to sheriff. Wes says, of course she's interviewing everyone. Ghostface is back. Mindy's like, no, the press isn't saying Ghostface, and Wes is like, she doesn't want to start a panic. Mindy tells them that it'll get out by the next, or by the second or third killing, and Amber's like, there wasn't a first killing, Tara's still alive. Mindy's like, she could die, and the killer could come back. And Chad is even shocked by his sister because they're twins. And Wes tells everyone to arm up, pepper spray, tasers. Liv looks over and sees that Vince has arrived. This is her, like, guy she had a fling with, and they kind of hooked up over the summer. She also worked with him and Tara. Where? We don't know. But she says that he's been stalking her Instagram for the past few weeks and posting some creepy stuff. So Chad then says it's time to introduce him to Hobbs and Shaw, meaning his arms. And I don't know, like, I was very worried that he was going to be that, like, shitty jock. I love Chad. He's one of my favorite characters. Can you relax? They can hear you. Stop. So Liv tells him not to do that in front of the sheriff, and Vince looks like he's leaving. Amber notices the bruises on his arms, and he says, and tells everyone that Tara said she fought back hard, and he's like, no, these are from football practice. Wes gets a text from Tara, and they all agree to go up to the hospital, except for Liv, who stays behind. Red herring moment, hooking up with Vince moment, who knows? Richie and Sam are driving into Woodsboro when Richie tells her that he's never seen Stab, and apparently a new one came out last year, so that's 8. She tells him that most of them are based on things that happened here. She said Billy Loomis and his friend carved up a bunch of their friends while wearing a ghost face mask. And I'm like, what the fuck is up with the Stu Mocker disrespect? This is twice now that people are forgetting who he is. He says it sounds like Halloween. She tells him that every decade or so, someone decides to dress up like Ghostface and kill their friends to get famous. She says the last time that it happened was 2011, which lines up with Scream 4. He's like, so we're going there voluntarily? She's like, well, we have to check on Tara. And he's like, cool, I'll make sure we don't run into anyone who watched Friday the 13th and thought, well, that Jason guy has some solid ideas. He asks if she knows why anyone would want to kill his sister. Sam says no, but the creepy music says otherwise. And again, there's a reference to almost all of them are based on things that happened in Woodsboro. So what the fuck are the other Stab movies about? If almost all of them are based on things that happened in Woodsboro, are they really saying almost all, as in 3 out of 8? Because that's not almost all, that is less than half. So they arrive at the hospital, everyone but Liv is there. Sam thanks Wes for calling her, and Sam introduces everyone to Richie. She used to babysit the twins and Wes. Sam asks about their mom. Tara says she's at a conference in London. She says she called and talked to her, and Amber's like, yeah, for all of 10 minutes. And Amber is crossing some creepy ass lines for a friend. In the original script, which we'll get to, Amber is actually supposed to be Tara's girlfriend, and I wish they would have kept it in, because otherwise she's just creepy, and it, to me, gave it all away. Like, I knew immediately. I was like, oh, this makes sense. So Amber tells everyone that Tara's really tired and they should give her some space, and they all go to leave, and Tara stops Sam. Sam offers to stay the night with her, and Amber's like, oh, well, do you have your extra inhaler? Like, mothering her almost. Again, super fucking weird. She's kind of like mothering her, which is super weird, especially like because she's not her girlfriend. And she's like, yeah, I have it. So Richie leaves them alone too. And Tara starts crying, saying how scared she was. Everyone goes to the pool hall, and Liv asks what Sam's like. Chad says that she's cool, and Minnie's like, you're only saying that because she let you wear Pokemon onesies for a year. Shut up. Amber says that Sam is not cool. Their dad left their mom, and Sam started acting out and getting in trouble with the cops. And, like, my thing is, if your dad just, like, all of a sudden ducked out and your mom is this much of, like, a mess because she drinks and stuff enough to have, like, 3 different anonymous options, like, I get it. It's, like, super weird that she's like, oh, she just went off the handle and left Tara by herself. She's not there to raise Tara, especially because when all this is happening, she's a child. Again, Amber's fucking weird. So then on Sam's 18th birthday, she leaves town, and Amber's like, I don't want to see Tara getting hurt. And Wes calls this out immediately, and he's like, so you're protecting her from her sister? She's like, well, someone has to. He's like, so no guy is good enough for her, and now her family's off limits. Mindy says that's motive. If I can't have her, no one can. And she's saying this to Wes, saying like, oh, we all know you have a crush on Tara. And she's saying that they're all suspects. But like, you should be saying that to Amber, because she is like literally blocking. Like, that is a super manipulative thing. That is abusive. I should know, because I've dealt with some shit. When someone tries to separate you away from everyone you know, where they just, they don't like anybody in your life, and it is just, you know, you should be with me because I'm nice to you and we're wonderful together. That's crazy. So the fact that they're not, like, calling Amber out and it's just this weird little friendship quirk is super fucking weird to me. So Mindy's saying they're all suspects because Mindy and Chad are Randy's niece and nephew. And she goes, well, except for Liv, you know, she's too boring to be a psycho. Vince chooses this moment to come up and offer her a real drink instead of sitting at the kids' table. They've all been secretly sharing a flask, because I guess this is kind of the kind of establishment that you can go into if you're underage. They just won't serve you, so they snuck alcohol in. I don't know. Chad calls him uglier Michael Myers and tells him it was just a summer fling. Vince tells Liv to come on and they'll get out of here. Chad's like, no, don't talk to her. And Vince pulls out a switchblade. Bartender's like, no, get out, I'm gonna call the cops. Vince says he'll see him soon, leaves. The bartender kicks them all out as well. So Vince is peeing against the wall saying, fuck this bar, when we see something run past him. Vince's car turns on and the engine revs, and we finally get to hear Right Hand Red. I was super pumped because this was missing from 4, and I cheered when it started playing. The headlights on the car are bright and totally in Vince's face, so he can't see who's in the car. He thinks it's Chad, and he goes to the car to, like, get him out. No one's there. Vince turns the car off and Ghostface is right behind him, and he stabs him in the throat. So Chad then, like, falls to the ground. Ghostface follows behind him until he dies. And I'm so sad we did not get the cool Ghostface shadow scene that was all in the trailer, because it was very cool looking. Sam wakes up at the hospital and Richie asks if she's okay. She tells him it was just a bad dream because she wakes up when Ghostface, like, cleans his blade off. It, like, triggers her to wake up. She asks him what he's watching. He tells her that he's watching Stab on Netflix because he wants to be prepared. So Sam goes into the eating area, takes her medicine, and when she raises up, Billy is there in the reflection of the mirror, covered in blood. My issue with this is the de-aging is not the best. Like, have y'all seen Skeet Ulrich lately? Like, he is fine, because he's still looking just as good. So, like, to me, he didn't need that much de-aging. And so it kind of, like, I don't know. There's times where it doesn't look good. It reminded me a lot of the way Superman looked in the original Justice League when they had to, like, he looked a little funky in the mouth. And I think that's where there was some issue. So he tells her, oh, the meds aren't working as good as they used to. And he's like, when are you gonna tell Tara why all this is happening? Sam's phone rings and it says maybe Amber on the caller ID. So of course we hear it's Ghostface and he tells her that he knows her little family secret. And of course, all I could think of is Pennywise in It Chapter 2 going, I know your secret. So I could not stop thinking of that. He's like, oh, I had to get you back here somehow. And she's like, okay, well, I'm right here. Like, come and get me. And he says, with pleasure, and comes out through the doorway. He goes to stab her and hits her across the face when he misses. She grabs a chair to block him, knocks him over. She ends up using a table to push him out of the way and takes running off through the hallway, screaming for help. She runs into Deputy Vinson, who goes into the break room to look for Ghostface, but he's gone. Sam's being interviewed by Sheriff Judy. Amber and Richie are there. Sam says that the call came from Amber's phone, and Amber says that they know he cloned her phone when he attacked Tara, and Richie's like, well, maybe you're the killer. Judy asks where he was. He says he was here watching Netflix. He asks where Amber was, and Judy says she was questioning all of them at the station after Vince's murder. Sam asks about putting more cops on her room and moving her to a private floor. Judy says that Deputy Vincent knows what he's doing and will protect them, which Sam challenges. So Judy takes her in the hall, and Sam calls her Deputy Hicks, saying they have so many fond memories. Judy says that she's sheriff now, and she remembers all the trouble that Sam caused her family. She tells her that her presence here is not helping, and maybe when the sun comes up, she and Richie should leave so she can focus on helping people who actually care about the community. So Sam asks Amber and Richie to leave so she can talk to Tara alone. Sam asks if she remembers when Dad left. Tara says she was 8, and Sam asks if she remembers the boxes in the attic, saying she was looking for Christmas presents, found her mom's diaries, and thought that it would be fun to read them and see how her and Dad fell in love with her getting pregnant with Sam in high school. However, when she reads them, she finds out that her mom was dating her dad, but was in love with some other guy who got her pregnant. Her mom told her dad that it was his, and he proposed senior year. Sam says she found out that, you know, this guy isn't her dad. She went and found her mom in the house and is screaming at her with a diary, unaware that her dad was behind her. He had no idea, and that's why he left. She says that their mom never forgave her and made her promise not to tell. Sam says that's why she changed and got all distant and weird with Tara. She said she started doing drugs until she couldn't take it and left town. She says she couldn't be around Tara anymore because she had destroyed their family. She tells her that Billy Loomis is her father and someone knows, and that's why she was attacked. Sam apologizes for not telling her, but Tara's like, no, get out. You know, you left 5 years ago and now you're back. I'm attacked and you're dumping all this shit on me. Sam says that she thought she was protecting her, and Tara's like, from what? And when Sam can't answer, Tara tells her to get out. She walks into the hallway. Richie's right by the door. She asks if he was listening at the door, which he tries to deny it, but then he's like, yeah, no, I was listening. She asks if it freaks him out that her real father is a serial killer, and he says yes. She tells him to go, but she has to stay here and figure this all out. He tells her that he's not leaving, and she's like, you know that part in horror movies when you yell at the characters to be smart and get the fuck out? This is that part. You should get the fuck out. He says he's staying and he loves her. She tells him that he's a dumbass. He says her sister isn't talking to her. The police won't help. What's our next step? She tells him they then just go talk to an expert. We get a close-up on a box of remains with Tatum's name on them and a photo of Dewey and Gale. This immediately tugged at my heartstrings. Dewey checks the fridge, which is mainly empty except for some beer. He grabs a cup, makes some coffee, and sits down for his morning news show. It is Good Morning with Gale Weathers. He watches with a smile and someone knocks on his door. It's Sam and Richie. Dewey's like, I don't give interviews. And he's talking through the door because he's trying to watch his program. And she's like, we're not here for an interview. He's like, give me one good reason I should talk to you. She's like, well, I'm Billy Loomis's daughter. He opens the door and he's like, that's a terrible reason for me to talk to you. She tells him that she was attacked. Her sister was stabbed 7 times. You know what that's like. I'm trying to protect her and I only need 5 minutes. He's like, I'll give you 2 because I'm missing a show I like. We cut back to Gail's show and she's talking about bangs and if she ever decides she wants them again, someone should stage an intervention. It's a reference to Scream 3. We didn't really talk about the bangs because I felt like it was one of those things that like everyone knows the bangs are garbage. So like why mock it to death? But it was funny to see this little nod to it. Especially because when she started coming like into Instagram and being bigger on social media, she makes fun of herself at Halloween for the bangs. So I love it. Dewey turns the TV off and Richie says, weren't you two? And kind of trails off. Dewey's like, yeah. And they all sit down to talk. Dewey's like, who's that? Pointing at Richie. And Sam's like, my boyfriend. He's like, how long have you known him? She tells him 6 months. He's like, did he know who your dad was? Did he express interest in Ghostface or Woodsboro? Richie's like, what are you talking about? And Dewey's like, the killer is obsessed with the stab movies and says there are certain rules one must follow to survive a stab movie. 1, never trust the love interest. They seem caring and supportive, and then a welcome to Act 3 where they're trying to rip your head off. Richie says that he was in Modesto with Sam when Tara was attacked. And Dewey says he could have conveniently been unaccounted for when Sam was attacked at the hospital. Richie's like, do I have to take this from shitty Sam Elliott? Dewey's like, rule number 2, the motive is always connected to something in the past. Sam says she's related to Billy, and then Richie asks why he killed Vince, and Dewey's like, well, that's for you to figure out. Rule number 3, the first victim always has a friends group that the killer is a part of. I think this rule is a little far-fetched. Casey wasn't exactly friends with Sydney and crew. She briefly dated Stu. Maureen and Phil were older and Sydney didn't know them, and Cotton and Sydney were not exactly friends. And Jill and her crew made fun of Jenny and Marnie. Plus, there was that whole situation where Jenny may have been the one that Trevor was fooling around with according to the deleted scenes. Who knows? So it's more like the final girl has a friend group, which is always Sydney. So like, yes, the people around Sydney Prescott. So, you know, where's Sydney? Which I like that this one's a little different, and we'll get into that. He asks her sister has a close friends group and tells them to start looking there. He says if you can figure out why they're killing, then you can figure out who's next. Sam asks Dewey for help, and he's like, I've been stabbed 9 times, I have permanent nerve damage, and I walk with a limp. She tells him that it all goes back to the past, so if she's in danger, he's in danger. She asks if they can just do this all together, and he says their time is up and kicks him out. Richie says that he's much more fun in the movies and asks what's next. Sam says they have to get the friends. Dewey turns Gail's show back on and we hear that her next segment is the pros and cons of reuniting with old friends. He gets up and grabs his phone. We see a woman jogging with a baby carriage. Her phone rings and it's Sydney. He asks how he is and tells him she's trying to get a run in before she takes the girls to school. He asks how Mark is, and the directors have confirmed that this is Mark Kincaid from Scream 3. They got married and had babies. How precious. She asks if he's talked to Gail, and he says no, and she tells him she knows things didn't end well with them. Dewey cuts her off, and he's like, it's happening again. Three attacks with one dead, and something feels different. She asks if he's okay, and he says, you know me, and she's like, yeah, I do, that's why I'm asking. He says he's fine and tells her to be safe and asks if she has a gun. She says, I'm Sidney fucking Prescott, of course I have a gun. Nev Campbell actually wrote that line. And it's brilliant. Dewey smiles and tells her that's good. She asks if Gail knows, and he's like, no, that's my next call. He asks her to promise that she won't come here, and she's like, no offense, but I have no intention of ever stepping foot in Woodsboro again. She says whoever the killer is after, she's glad they have him to protect them, and tells him to be safe. She still thinks that he's sheriff, and he didn't bother to correct her. He then goes to his favorites, and the only name listed is Gail. He sends her a text, and it's like, Ghostface is back, don't come here. And then he says, hope you're doing well, with a smiley face. He sends it, and he's like, I shouldn't have sent that. But then he starts to type, I still, and then erases it all. He looks over at Tatum's remains and grabs his gun and ammo. Sam and Richie arrive at the Meeks house, and Dewey arrives right behind them. And we get to hear Dewey's theme from Scream 2. Amazing. Because we were getting, like, a kind of shitty version of it. So now we got the original. Inside, we see a home theater system dedicated to Randy. Everyone is there, and Martha's bringing in snacks, saying that Randy would be so proud. Martha hugs Dewey and says, you look... and then just kind of trails off. She asks about the wife, and Chad's like, we're good, like, get out! We see a picture on the TV from The Stab True Story with a promo shot of Billy. But, like, that's a promo shot from Scream. And I realize I'm splitting hairs here, but, like, where would they have gotten that photo? It's literally from the night he died. It's not like they were all, like, posing in these fancy glamour shots in the middle of the fucking hallway. Fun fact, they actually filmed an entire, like, sequence of, like, crime scene photos where there was gonna be a whole show, I guess The Stab True Story, playing behind Mindy while she talks about the Woodsboro aftermath. But they figured it would be too distracting and ended up cutting it. I'm hoping that they actually still filmed it and we're gonna get it in like the behind the scenes, like deleted scene stuff, because they did all of it with the feathers and the whole kit and caboodle. So I'm hoping we get some like deleted scenes, extended scenes, director's cut. I don't care. I want it all. I've never understood why when you make a film, just include all that shit. Somebody's gonna wanna watch it. I'm a nerd. I wanna watch it. I love deleted scenes and altered scenes and all that. I love it. That's the only issue with like VOD nowadays is you don't really get that a whole lot. That was the beauty of getting like Blu-rays and DVDs and having physical media. Anyways, I digress. Chad confirms that Billy is Sam's father and she thinks that one of them is a killer. And Wes is like, why does it have to be one of them? What if it's Dewey? And Dewey's like, okay, what's my motive? Wes is like, well, you were stabbed like a billion times. You got dumped by your famous wife and basically crawled into a bottle. It's safe to say you're on the suspect list. And Dewey says, well, maybe you're the killer because that cut deep. And it was fucking hilarious. The entire theater cracked up. Amber says that Vince is connected. She Googled him and his mom is Stu's sister. They ask who Stu is. And Dewey's like, oh, he was Billy's accomplice in a real Looney Tune. What the fuck is with this forgetting Stu business? He did most of the work! So they say the first three attacks are all people related to the original killers. Mindy's like, oh my god, they're making a requel or a legacy sequel. The terminology's debatable. Chad's like, please speak English. And she's like, do you remember the Stab movie last year? Liv's like, oh, the one that the Knives Out guy directed. She's, you know, I really like that one. And Mindy's like, of course you did, because you have terrible taste. And I legit said something just like this to my sister talking about Scream 3, because she loves Scream 3. And she likes it, like, better than 4, which I think is insanity, but whatever. we were talking, and I was like, yeah, of course you like it. You have terrible taste. So when this happened in the movie, I was like, oh, God, I'm a Mindy. So it was great. Liv's like, I hate you. And that's pretty much what my sister said to me. Mindy's like, the hardcore Stab fans hated it. She's like, you go on 4chan, Reddit, they're all talking about how it pissed on their childhood, how it crammed in social commentary, and how the main character is a Mary Sue. And I had a similar conversation with an ex about Star Trek Discovery and how I think that the lead is a Mary Sue. I am Mindy. Richie's like, what's a Mary Sue? And Wes is like, you really don't want to know. But I'm going to tell you. A Mary Sue is a character that can do anything, fix all, win everything, and it's just handed to him. They're the perfect character for any situation. You need someone who can fly a boat? Mary Sue's your girl with no previous training required. It's ridiculous. She's basically like a plot device. Like, you need to fix something? Mary Sue's got it. Amber's like, well, what's wrong with elevated horror? You know, Jordan Peele fucking rules. Mindy's like, obviously, but that's not Stab. Stab is a meta slasher whodunit, full stop. Sam says it's just a movie, and Mindy's like, no, it's not. To some people, the original is their favorite thing in the world, and the movies that made them love horror. It's that movie that their mom or dad showed them at 10 that bonded them. My dad showed me Scream at 8 or 7, I forget, whatever year that is, 7. Yeah, so, like, that's why I love horror movies. I was like, oh god, this movie is literally about me. Because I feel this way about Scream. She says that it sounds like the killer is trying to write their own version of Stab 8, but they're doing it as a requel. Dewey asks what a requel is, and Mindy's like, you can't reboot a straight franchise from, or you can't reboot a franchise from scratch anymore. She references Black Christmas, Child's Play, Flatliners, and says that it doesn't work anymore. And she says you can't do a straight sequel. You have to build something new, but not too new, because then that causes the internet to go buck fucking nuts. She says it has to be a part of an ongoing storyline, even if the storyline shouldn't have been going on in the first place. She says you introduce new characters supported by and related to legacy characters. Not quite a reboot, not quite a sequel. She references Halloween, Saw, Terminator, Jurassic Park, Ghostbusters, and even Star Wars. She says it always goes back to the original. Sam's like, am I just caught in the middle of fan fucking fiction? Mindy's like, you're not in the middle, you're the star. So Liv's like, okay, so according to requel rules, who's next? Mindy says, based on the pattern, it has to be someone who came before. Dewey's like, I am regretting coming here. Wes says his mom was a character in one of them. Which one? We have determined that the Stab movies stopped after 2011 until last year. That movie was 8. Was she a character in 8? Did they feature her in 4, 5, 6, 7 as a police officer in Woodsboro but not reference Sydney? And like, if all of these movies are based off of something that happened in Woodsboro, what the fuck has been going on in Woodsboro in the last 10 years? What happened between 2000 and 2011 for them to make 5 more fucking movies? No, 4 more fucking movies. I think that it's so genius that they do movies within a movie. Like, I think that's genius. And the fact that they don't talk about it, and now this movie has messed with that, it's frustrating. Like, if you're gonna ask me my least favorite part of the movie, it is this. It is the weird continuity issues between the Stab movies. It's super frustrating because I think this is a unique thing that Scream has. Mindy says that no one gives a shit about shitty inferior sequels, so he's safe. Which sequel? Like, this is what I want the directors and the writers to explain. What the fuck is going on? Mindy says that Randy's their uncle, so she and Chad are probably screwed. Richie says, or Mindy is the killer, and this elaborate monologue is to cover her tracks. Mindy's like, it's pretty clear who the killer is. And when Sam asks, Mindy says, you. It makes perfect prequel sense. Chad's like, yeah, it really does. Dewey looks at her and shrugs. Sam gets up leaving, saying that she'll meet Richie at the hotel and drives off leaving him there. And he's like, the first fucking rule of these movies is not to split up. And also, this is really shitty of her. Like, he knows no one. And she just left him at some stranger's house where he has to Uber back to their hotel or hope one of them will take him back to the hotel. Like, there's also a killer on the loose. Like, what the fuck? So Sam takes off driving, and we hear Billy complaining about the nerve of Mindy. She tells him that she's not in the mood, and Billy is reflected in the mirror. He tells her there's a killer on the loose who's threatened her and her sister. He asks if she's going to run away from who she is, like she always does, or if she's going to use it. She tells him that she's not like him, and he asks how she's going to make it. He tells her to use who she is, get out there, find out who's doing this, and cut some fucking throats. She yells no and almost hits a car, giving us a quick jump scare similar to Scream 4 with Kirby. She stops and looks in the mirror to see that no one is there. We cut to Judy, who's ordering sushi for dinner. She had a glass of wine and is getting ready to head out. She leaves a note on the door for Wes and hears someone come in. She starts hollering, trying to see if it's Wes. No one responds, so she grabs a knife. She walks to the front door, sees that it's open, and looks outside but doesn't see anything. She closes it, and Wes comes around the corner with headphones on. She asks if he's being safe, and he's like, "I'm so safe, my friends are mocking me." She tells him to go ahead and take a shower, I guess he's been on a run, and she'll be back with dinner. She hands him the knife to put away and tells him to lock the door. Wes gets in the shower, and hell yeah, we're getting a dude in the shower for one of these scary movies. Like, this never happens. I'm so tired of it always being the big boobed blonde girl doing the sexy scene. Let, you know, Wes and his frosted tips be our eye candy. Judy's driving when her phone rings. It's Ghostface. And he is calling her Sheriff Judy. All super weird, and I don't know why. She asks who it is, and he's like, "I think you know." He's a fan of scary movies and knives, and he asks her, what is her favorite scary movie? Judy, in true Judy crazy-ass fashion, tells him that she prefers animated films and musicals. Of course you do. She asks him why he's doing this and texts the deputy to trace her phone. Ghostface says that he's calling to turn himself in. He says they'll sit down at the station and he'll tell her all about the two people that he killed. Judy's like, "You've killed one." He's like, "Well, by the time I see you, I'll have gutted your baby boy." She turns on the sirens, turns her car around, and is headed back home. She tries calling Wes. He doesn't hear his phone ringing. She calls to send units to her house, and Ghostface calls back. She's like, "How do I know you're even near him?" And Ghostface is like, "Have you seen Psycho?" And of course, we get a few shots just like Psycho. Judy begs him not to hurt her boy. She says that he's a good kid who doesn't hurt anyone. Ghostface says that's not enough, and she tells him that she'll do anything. And I thought in this moment that there might be some sort of scene where Ghostface was going to make her, like, do stuff. Make sure, like, if you do this, I won't kill your son. Which, of course, he's still going to kill him anyways. But that's where I thought this was headed, because I thought we were going to get more Judy. He tells her, you know, "You're not going to make it in time," so she slams on the gas. Judy gets home, runs to the front door, only to have Ghostface jump out from behind a bush and stab her in the stomach. Judy falls to the ground and Ghostface stabs her in the stomach again, hard. He then starts stabbing her over and over and over and over again in the middle of the front yard in broad fucking daylight. Wes gets out of the shower and sees missed calls from his mom. He opens the door and you think that Ghostface is going to be there, but he's not. He goes downstairs, he starts getting the table ready for dinner. We get multiple scenes of doors opening and closing, like the fridge and this closet and then this pantry and here. And you think the Ghostface is going to be there. And we have the score that's like jumping up to like make you super anxious. And I really like this scene. My crowd like did this nervous chuckle thing multiple times because we were all getting so antsy during this scene. Wes closes the fridge and we see a note about lemon squares on the fridge. Wes hears a noise behind him and goes to check it out. The front door is open and when he goes to close it, Ghostface is right behind him. Wes reaches for his taser, but he can't reach it. Ghostface then stabs him in the neck, like not in the center, like kind of on the side, and then shoves the blade completely through. It is super graphic and a very sad death scene. Sam drives up and sees that the cops and everything are at Wes's house. She sees Judy being covered up and crosses the police tape. Deputy Farney stops her and she's like, "Well, what about Wes?" He apologizes and Gail then arrives in a red suit ready to go. Gail talks to Sam saying it seems like she's having a moment and asks if she knew the sheriff. Sam says that Judy didn't like her and Gail confirms she didn't like her either. Sam introduces herself and Gail goes to introduce herself and sees Dewey. She says she's Gail Riley and then corrects herself saying Gail Weathers and goes over to Dewey. She smacks him on the arm and she's like, "You told me that Ghostface is back via text?" And he's like, "That hurts." She's like, "Good." He says she was on the air. She's like, "How would you know?" And he smiles and says it was a hunch. He asks if she's still writing and she says she doesn't have enough time. He tells her that she was always happiest when she was writing. He looks behind her and sees that a news crew is there and says she can't resist a good story. She tells him not to be an idiot, that she was worried about him. She says, "My producers want me here for obvious reasons, but I'm 90% here for you." He tells her, "Great, I feel 90% better." She tells him not to be so sensitive, and he asks when she started caring about his feelings, obviously not in the last couple of years. She tells him to not pretend that she's the one that ended things. He's like, "No one's pretending." I remember what happened. She asks why he's not in uniform and he says he's retired. She's like, since when? He's like, since they asked me to. Dewey says he doesn't need her pity. He made his choices and so did she. She tells him that it was her turn and a great opportunity. She told him that he said he would try and he said he did. She was like, you tried for 2 months. He says that she can't make him feel any worse than he does. He says the mornings aren't bad because he gets to see her and can pretend like he's still in New York. But then he remembers he couldn't hack it and left in the middle of the night like a coward. Gail asks why he didn't tell her, because it would have mattered. She tells him that he's a lot of things, but he's not a coward. He's just meant to be in Woodsboro. He asks Gail to promise to leave as soon as she can, and she tells him that he knows she can't promise that. She says she's sorry about Judy, and he says he is too, but she'll make a great chapter in his next book. And Gail and Dewey, like, their scenes are so good. Like, they have the best chemistry. Like, I loved watching their scenes. So Richie is watching a YouTube video, and you hear it before you see it, and I knew that voice. James A. Janisse and Chelsea Rebecca from Dead Meat cameo. And it is freaking epic. My niece was sitting beside me and I started elbowing her like a maniac. She's like, what? And I was like, it's Dead Meat. It's Dead Meat. I'm a fucking moron. So they're playing YouTubers talking about how awful Stab 8 is. Shout out to Chelsea and her fantastic set for the Dead Meat podcast. She designed that set. Like, it is so cool looking. If you look at the related videos on this YouTube video, you'll have an interview with Woodsboro survivor Kirby. Kirby lives, people. We were correct not to include her in the kills. Below that, you have a video about Ryan Johnson from the Dead Meat channel, a stab kill ranking video, a stab redo request, and at the very bottom is episode 118. Scene 118, anyone from Scream? Remember that? Did the real-life Stu Mocker survive? I fucking hope that if they do a Scream 6, that that's a part of it. And we will get into why I hope. Because I had so many hopes after the credits that were dashed because there's no end credit scene. We see a metal Ghostface and Ghostface's new weapon, which is apparently a flamethrower. Chelsea's talking about how this movie is called Stab, and she's like, everyone knows it's Stab 6. And that's a bit of commentary on the recent trend of reusing movie names like this one. We know it's Scream. We also know it should be Scream 5 or 5 Cream. Richie's phone rings and it's Sam. Richie tells her that Mindy's right, Stab 8 is nothing like the other movies. We see more clips and it's like they have sleeveless robes like they're dude bros. And he tells her that the whole franchise has gone off the rails after number 5. Sam tells him that Ghostface has killed 2 more people. Richie's like, she's the sheriff, can you do that? And he asks if she's okay. Sam sees Deputy Vincent and hangs up and she's like, wait, who's watching my sister at the hospital if you're here? And he tells her that he had just heard about the sheriff and they needed him here, and she leaves and Dewey gets in the car with her. And here's my thing, are there only 2 deputies? Like, aren't there other police officers? Like, there's 1 sheriff. Like, if you look it up, there's 1 sheriff in every county. But there's some deputies. Are there not other police officers? Like, how is there, like, 2 deputies in this whole town? Is it that small? Because I'm confused. But anyways, at the hospital, Tara is watching Dawson's Creek, which Kevin Williams is the writer for. The episode that she's watching is called The Scare. This episode is their, like, Halloweenish episode, and it features Scott Foley, who plays Roman, aka Ghostface from Scream 3. I thought that was a fun little Easter egg. She hears something in the hallway, and we hear her machines beeping faster, showing that she's scared, which I thought was an excellent touch. Tara unplugs all of her cords, which should have sent a nurse running, but it didn't, because this hospital, just like in Scream 4, has no staff. She struggles to get in the wheelchair by her bed and is wheeling herself out of the room. The lights go out, and slowly she wheels herself to the doorway and peers out. She doesn't see anything, and her phone starts ringing. We see that it's Sam calling, but she's left it across the room and isn't going back for it. Tara gets into the hallway to the nurse's station when she sees that there's an officer on the ground with his throat slit. So we have an off-screen kill, which is rare in Scream, I will say. We had a whole conversation because my sister and I did this little chart of, like, kills for the movie. And she was like, well, off-screen kills get a low score. And I'm like, there's not. many off-screen kills. Like, most of them, like, the only one that I could think of that's off-screen is in, like, Roman is not a kill, so that doesn't count in Scream 3. In Scream 4, Marnie is thrown through the doorway dead. She tried to say that Stephen Orth was an off-screen killer. I'm like, no, that was an editing thing for the MPAA. That's not off-screen. Off-screen is like this guy, where you find him dead and you didn't see him get attacked. Like, he's just, you walk up, he's dead. He died off-screen. So it's rare for Scream. So she tries to go for his gun. It's gone. She hears something down the hallway and rolls into a nearby room. She hides and kind of closes the door a little bit, and she grabs for the phone on the wall, holding it like a weapon. Richie opens the door and she smacks him with the phone because she has no idea who it is. And he's like, Sam called saying you might be in trouble. Ghostface comes up behind him and slices his arm. And I leaned over to my niece and I was like, that's a pity surface wound if I've ever seen one. Because, you know, in Scream 2, pity surface wound. In Scream 4, pity surface wound. Ghostface goes to try to stab Richie, but he holds him back. He throws Richie against the wall where he hits his head. Tara knocks a metal pole into Ghostface and tries to wheel away. She's screaming in agony because she's basically reopened her stitches in her hand, which freaked me out once I realized why she was like screaming so much. I was just like, ugh. She gets in the hallway and Ghostface comes out behind her, and this is the part where I was talking about the score is fucking epic. Richie's phone rings and it's Sam calling, so Ghostface turns on the voice changer that's built into the mask, which I thought was an excellent touch. He tells Sam that Richie is finding out what happens to people who stick their noses where it doesn't belong. She asks him not to hurt Richie, and he tells her that he'll only kill one of them, and tells her that she can choose who's gonna die. He says, if you want me to kill Richie, say kill Richie. Tara knocks Ghostface out of the wheelchair, and Sam's like, don't hurt her. Ghostface, all right, cool, if you want me to kill Tara, say kill Tara. And he'll hit all the organs he missed before. And Tara's on the ground crawling, and she's like, fuck you. It's great. And she's trying to crawl away, but Ghostface is following very close behind. Sam begs him to stop, and he says this is her last chance, choose. She's like, why are you doing this? And Ghostface is like, well, because you're a stupid bitch, you can't make a decision to save the life of someone you love. He says that maybe she's too weak for this franchise, and Sam's like, maybe you're right, or maybe I'm stalling for time. Also, if she said kill Richie, he probably would have killed Tara. Ghostface is kind of hovering over Tara, getting ready to, I guess, stab her, when the elevator dings and Sam and Dewey are there. Dewey shoots at Ghostface, who ducks away. Sam drags Tara to the elevator, and Dewey helps Richie go towards the elevator. Ghostface attacks Dewey and slams him against the wall. Dewey runs him into the wall and flips Ghostface over his shoulder and drops his gun. Ghostface goes to stab Dewey in the chest. He says, not today, and knocks the knife away, headbutting Ghostface. Dewey grabs the gun and shoots Ghostface in the chest a few times, knocking him into a display shelf. Dewey then drags Richie away, who keeps looking back at Ghostface. Dewey gets him in the elevator and he stops the doors from closing. He's like, head, shit. He's like, you have to shoot him in the head or they'll come back. And Sam's like, who gives a fuck? And he's like, I do. I was like, oh my God, this is it. Oh God, I was not prepared because I knew. I fucking knew because I was paying attention to the clips that we saw in the trailer. I was like, oh, Dewey's gonna die in the hospital. Fuck. And then this happened. I was like, oh my God, he's gonna get a hero's death. Oh no. I was beside myself in the theater. I cried. I have cried every time. I've seen this movie multiple times, and I've cried every time at Dewey's death scene because it's fucking heartbreaking. So Dewey reloads his gun and heads back to Ghostface. When he gets there, Ghostface is still on the ground. He goes to shoot, but then his phone rings, causing him to look down. Ghostface pops up and stabs him in the torso. He then takes another knife and stabs Dewey in the back, saying, yes, today. He lifts both knives up, slicing Dewey's back and torso open. Blood spills all over the ground. Dewey falls to his knees, and we look at the ground to see Dewey's phone is lighting up with Gail's name. Ghostface tells Dewey that it's an honor. And if I wasn't already crying, I am now, because holy fuck. He kicks Dewey in the chest, and we see that Dewey is dead. Major props to David Arquette. Dewey has always been wonderful, but he is truly the heart of this movie. Also did all of his stunts for this movie. He's fantastic. Outside of the hospital, Gail has arrived and she sees a body bag being brought out. This scene killed me. Sam and Richie grab her to stop her and she screams, realizing that Dewey is gone. This is an emotional moment. Shut up, Quinn. The movie's trying to kill me. So Gail is sitting in the hospital, like in the waiting room, I guess, and Sam apologizes. She says that she didn't know him well, but he helped her. And Gail says that's what he does. She says that she should have stopped him. And Sam takes this moment to say, well, if you would have, my sister would be dead. She don't give two shits about your sister. She doesn't know your sister. She knows her ex-husband. She loves him. She'd rather have him. So a nurse tells Sam that her sister's away. Sam leaves. Sydney then arrives in Woodsboro and hugs Gail. She tells her that she came as soon as she heard and how she's so sorry. Gail's like, you shouldn't be here. Sydney's like, yeah, you shouldn't either. Gail asks if Mark and the kids are okay, and Sydney says they're safe for now. Sam checks on Tara, and she says every time she gets stabbed, they give her better painkillers. Sam apologizes for not telling her sooner and being the reason their dad left. Tara says she doesn't blame her for who she came from. She blames her for leaving her too. Sam tells her that's never gonna happen again. Tara asks why she never came back, and Sam says she's scared of being just like him, so she ran to protect Tara from herself. Tara tells her that she could never be like him. Sam says, you know, Sam looks at her and she's like, you're so high. And Tara's like, yes, I am so high. So Tara asks what they can do now. Sam's like, we're gonna do what no one ever does in this situation. We're leaving. So Sam, Richie, and Tara are leaving the hospital when Sydney stops her. Sydney tells Tara that she hopes that she's doing okay, and she knows that Sam is Billy's daughter. Which, how the fuck did she figure this out? Like, Woodsboro's small, yes, but like, who told her? All she's seen is Gail. Gail doesn't know yet, unless Dewey told her, but we've seen their interactions together. Like, somebody get a text and be like, also Gail, Ghostface is back, hope you're well, smiley face. Also, the new kid in town is Billy's surprise daughter. Richie and Tara go to the car. Sydney says that she's been through this a lot and asks if she wants to talk. Sam's like, I'm sorry about Dewey, but I'm taking Tara away from this. Sydney's like, I've tried to run before, it always follows. And Sam's like, that's your life, not mine. Sydney tells her not to be so sure, and Sam's like, what do you want from me, lady? And Gail's like, hey, watch your tone, new girl. Because she's Gail fucking Weathers and she's the best. She's like, if it all goes back to the original, here's the original. Sydney says she wants to help her, and whoever this is will just keep coming, so she wants to help, or she wants Sam to help them kill him. Sam's like, you want me to help you and a morning news host commit murder? And they're like, yeah. Like, of course. This is every day. So Sam's like, am I the bait or the helpless victim? And Gail's like, if the shoe fits. Sydney's like, you're not helpless. He's like, he killed your friends, he killed my friend. I have kids. I'm not going to sleep until he's in the ground. But Sam refuses, so Sydney's like, all right, fine, good luck, and walks away from the car. Sydney's like, eh, she seems tough. And Gail's like, who gives a shit? Like, what's going on? And Sydney's like, oh, I'll put a tracker on her car. It seemed like something Gail Weathers would do. Gail's like, I will take that as a compliment. I love this scene. I thought it was great. When I kept saying I wanted them to have warm, loving interactions, this movie did it for me. I love their interactions. I love them working together. Quinn! I'm getting to the good part. Shut up! So, as they're leaving, Tara realizes she does not have her inhaler. Sam asks if they need to go back, and Richie's like, absolutely not. We're not going back to Murderville. She's like, but I have to have it. I need a prescription otherwise. I gotta have it tonight. I have a spare at Amber's, and her house is on the way. Richie doesn't want to go, but Sam's like, she needs it. And he's like, I need to keep all the blood in my body. Tara begs him. We cut to Amber's house. They're having a memorial for Wes. Chad lifts a shot, and everyone cheers for Wes. And we will talk a little bit more about this in the cameos. Amber gives Chad shit, and he's like, this is how I mourn and distract myself from looming death. Mindy says they're out of beer, and Amber's like, oh, I'll get more from the basement. Amber goes downstairs, the light doesn't work, so she has to use her phone. She turns on the light by the fridge to get a few beers, and as she closes the door, Mindy is standing there. Mindy's like, this was a test, and you failed. You never go off on your own with a mass killer on the loose. And Amber says that she's the one that said they needed more beer. And Mindy's like, yeah, and you should have asked me to come down here with you. Amber's like, you shouldn't follow someone into a dark, creepy basement alone. She walks up on her, and she's like, how do you know I'm not the killer? Mindy meets her and says, because I am. There's a brief pause, and then Mindy says, let that be a lesson to you. I'm not, but don't trust anyone. They go upstairs, and Amber tells Mindy to go first up the stairs. And I remembered that, and when I was watching this, I remember that Amber and Tara are supposed to be dating, but they're not. So for a second, I was like, oh, are they dating? Did they change it that much? But no. So Liv and Chad are making out on the couch when she decides they should go upstairs and have sex. He's like, don't take this the wrong way, but I gotta pass. He's like, I'm not entirely sure that you're not the killer. Like, I'm almost 100% sure you're not, but like, I have to be safe. She's like, fuck you, flipping him off as she's leaving. He's like, that's a valid emotion. That's okay. I'm just like, Chad's the fucking best. I love Chad so much. So Mindy sees her leave and she gives him a thumbs up. Gail and Sydney are in the car and Gail's like, I started all of this with my book. And Sydney's like, no, Billy Loomis started this and we're gonna end it. See, even Sydney wants to forget Scream 3's retconning. Fuck Roman. So Sydney says, no more books, no more movies, no more Ghostface. We're done. We cut back to the party, they're watching Stab, and we finally get to see a new scene. Randy's role scene is playing, and yes, it is a complete unknown playing Randy. Chad is texting Liv, trying to get her to come back, and Mindy's like, do not leave and go after her. And he's like, she's not texting back. She's like, yeah, because she's probably dead. He's like, that's my girlfriend. And she's like, it was your girlfriend. He's like, are you just gonna watch some movie about her uncle getting stabbed? She's like, it calms me down. He's like, all right, I'm going anyways. And she tells him to take some form of weapon. So he grabs a candlestick like it's Clue or something, gets outside and sees that he has a request from Liv. She is wanting to share her location. Chad starts walking towards where it says she is, but he gets a little worried. He's supposed to be right beside her when Ghostface comes up behind him and stabs him in the leg. Chad drops the candlestick and takes off. He hides behind a shed, but his phone keeps going off because of the tracking app. He tries to turn it off, but all this blood's everywhere, so he can't. He throws his phone away and takes off running from behind the shed, and Ghostface comes out, following him and stabs him multiple times in the side. Headlights from Richie's car come up, and Ghostface leaves. Richie sees it's a big party and is like, nah, we can't stay. And they're like, no, we have to go get the inhaler. They all walk in and everyone cheers when they see Tara. Amber's like, what are you doing here? And Tara's like, oh, we're here for my inhaler and we're leaving town. Amber wants to know where they're going and Sam shakes her head. Amber's like, I get it. Just to be safe. She tells everyone that the party's over and Sam has Richie help get everybody out. He turns on the lights and he's like, all right, Gen Z. Sam and Tara have been attacked by the killer now twice and they are here, making this a huge murder target. He tells them that they should leave and they start throwing cups at him and he's like, all right, get the fuck out. Like, he's done being a nice guy. Tara goes upstairs with Amber following her. Mindy and Francis are making out on the couch when Francis's ride has to go, so she's got to go too. Richie walks up and he's like trying to find a beer and Mindy's like, no, Richie, we don't have any more beer. It's all downstairs. So he asks her to go with him. She's like, no, but you were very smart to ask me. He says he'll be right back and then he stops himself and they both laugh and Mindy's like, ah, he's dead. Liv sits on the couch beside her, saying that her Uber canceled. Mindy asks where Chad is, and Liv's like, I don't know, probably accusing everyone of being a killer. Mindy's like, no, he went outside looking for you. And Liv says that she didn't see him and asks why Mindy is looking at her like that. Mindy says that she's revising her suspect list. Liv gets up and asks Mindy if she's afraid of her, and if she thinks that she did something to her brother. She asks if she thinks that she's gonna cut her up, and Mindy's like, yeah, a little bit now. Liv says that she thought Mindy says she was too boring to be a killer, but maybe that's the twist. She asks Mindy what she thinks because she's the expert. She's like, don't you know what usually happens to the expert? And she leans down in her face, miming slitting her throat. She tells her to enjoy her stupid movie and steals her chips. Sydney sees that they have stopped and shows Gail where they are. Sydney calls Sam, but like, how'd she get her number? Sam's trying to get Tara to leave when her phone rings. Sydney's like, you're in Stu Mocker's house. Get the fuck out. We have a quick zoom out, showing off the house. And it like, it's super confusing because they're trying to act like it was this big secret. Like, no one knew they were in Stu Mocker's house. But like, we knew from the get-go. Like, it would have been better if it would have been all tight shots. And we wouldn't have seen the house. We wouldn't have known where they were until this moment. Like, they would never have said anything. But I called the fact that it was Stu Mocker's house when Kevin Williamson posted photos back in like November. I was like, that's Stu Mocker's house. They're going back to the original. Like, what the fuck? So they screwed that from the beginning. So Mindy is watching the scene with Jamie Kennedy, who's like saying, Jamie, look behind you. And she's saying it. She's also like, look behind you. Look behind you, Randy. And we see the ghost faces standing behind her. She finally realizes that she's in the same house mimicking the same scene and turns around and looks behind her and sees Ghostface. She falls off the couch onto the ground. And fun fact, Jack Quaid is actually in the Ghostface costume in this scene, just like Skeet Ulrich and Matthew Lillard did in the original. He attacks her and stabs her in the shoulder. Sam comes running and sees Ghostface trying to attack. She hits him with a lamp and he takes off without trying to attack Sam. Amber and Tara come downstairs with Amber screaming at Sam like, what did you do to her? And she's like, bitch, nobody did nothing to nobody. Shut up. Like, I was so over Amber's weird shit. Like, she's so fucking weird. So she goes to check on Mindy when Richie comes in and he drops his beer asking what happened. Sam's like, where were you? And he's like, I was in the basement. Amber's like, why were you in there alone? He's like, I asked Mindy and she said no. Liv comes running in freaking out. Amber says she was with Tara, so one of them is the fucking killer. Liv says, fuck you. And Sam's like, why do you have blood all over your hands, meaning Liv? And Liv's like, I found Chad outside. And Amber's like, no, you're lying. And Richie says that she's the killer. Liv tries to deny it, and Amber's like, just stop. Liv's like, fuck you, Amber, I'm not the fucking killer. And Amber says, I know, and shoots her in the fucking head. Amber's like, welcome to Act 3, and tries to shoot Sam, but Tara knocks her arm, causing her to miss. Richie takes off, pulling Sam along. Sam grabs a knife, and they run into the basement. Sam realizes that Tara's not with him, and Richie stops her, saying there's always two killers. Well, you know, except for three. Sam points the knife at him, and he tells her that he thinks Tara might be the other killer. She brought them here, and they've been estranged for years. He's like, how well do you really know her? And Sam's like, I know her better than I know you. Sydney and Gail arrive, and Sydney grabs guns for both of them out of her trunk. We hear someone screaming, and Sydney asks Gail if she's ready. And Gail's like, for this? Never, but let's go. Amber walks out front screaming, and this reminded me so much of Jill. Like, I hated when Jill would scream at Trevor, and that's exactly what this reminded me of. She's saying that he stabbed me, and Sydney asks Gail, she's like, what do you think? And Gail's like, it's a trap. And Amber's like, forget this, and immediately pulls the gun out and shoots Gail in the stomach. Sydney shoots back and misses, with Amber running back inside. Sydney tells Gail that she has to go to the hospital. Gail's like, we need to finish this for Dewey. Sydney goes inside and looks around. She says, anyone hiding, killer or not, you have 5 seconds to show yourself. She walks by a closet door, shoots it, and then checks it. She hears noise upstairs, and Sam is up there with her knife and opens the door to find Tara bound and gagged. She goes to uncut her and then hesitates. We cut back to Sydney, whose phone rings. We get our famous hello, Sydney, and she asks where she went. Ghostface is like, oh, I'm not Amber. I'm the other. She's like, oh great, there's two. Again, I've seen this movie. She tells him that he needs new material and shoots a door, and he says he got her here, didn't I? She tells him that this must be the most derivative of them all because it's even the same house. She shoots another door, and he tells her that she forgot the first rule of stab movies. Don't answer the phone. She tells him that she's bored, and we hear Ghostface yelling, wait! And she hangs up the fucking phone because she's Sydney fucking Prescott. I love it. So she shoots the door. We hear someone scream, and it's Richie. And she asks what he's doing, and he's got his hands up, and he's like, I'm hiding from the murderers. She's like, I told you to come out. And he's like, I'm not coming out with you shooting everything. Ghostface attacks Sydney, and Richie yells, holy shit, it's Ghostface. It's great. I love it so much. Ghostface and Sydney go over the banister, and she drops the gun. Sydney yells for Richie to get the gun, and as he's coming down the stairs, he's struggling. He's like, you did shoot me in the leg. So Sam runs up and grabs the gun with it pointed at Ghostface. Richie comes down the stairs and says, thank God she's okay. He then stabs her, saying he really wanted to be the one to kill her. He takes the gun from her and yells for Sydney to stay down, and he twists the knife in Sam's stomach. He hands the gun to Amber, who has taken off the mask, and he pulls the inhaler out of his pocket, saying he can't believe this worked. He throws it away and he says, I know, it's a bummer, it's me. Amber was my Billy. I knew right away it was her, just like I knew it was Billy right away. She was so creepy with Tara that it had to be. But Richie was my Stu. A character that I really, really liked, and at one point suspected, but then didn't really suspect him anymore, and was super sad when he was the killer. So when he says, yeah, I know it's a bummer, it's me, I felt that. He turns on the voice changer, saying it really was the best choice for the movie. She tells him that it isn't a movie, and he says, no, but it will be. And that's the point, right, Amber? She says, right, calling him hun, and saying, third act bloodbath, check. Killer's revealed, check. Time for the big finale. Richie takes the knife out of Sam's stomach, and they all go into the kitchen. Richie says, someone has to save the franchise. No one's made a good movie since the first one. He asks Amber to get the very ex, Mrs. Riley. She goes after her, and Sydney tries to grab a weapon. Richie tells Sydney that he's a big fan, and she's like, go fuck yourself. He asks if she's seen the newest Stab movie, and she says that she's not a big fan of scary movies. He's like, yeah, that checks out. But it sucked balls because no one takes the true fan seriously. And why? Because they love something. They're a joke? He asks, how can fandom be toxic? He says they don't understand how they help people. He says Hollywood is completely out of ideas, so they decided to give new source material and bring it back to basics because that's how you make a Stab movie, based on actual events. Amber brings Gail in and walks up to Sydney with a knife going, hee hee hee, and it's so fucking funny. Sam asks if he did all of this to make her the hero of his fucking movie, and he's like, no, you're not the hero, you're the villain. The daughter of Billy Loomis, who sees fucked up visions of her dead dad, Sydney Prescott killed your dad, and you did all of this to get her back. Amber says the biggest problem with the Stab movies is there's no Michael Myers or Jason Voorhees. There's no bad guy to keep coming. But the illegitimate daughter of the original mastermind? Now that's a villain. Sam asks how Amber knows, and she's like, it's a small town and your mom's a drunk. She says she met Richie on the Stab subreddit, and she's been obsessed with Stab since her parents bought this house. Richie says that it wasn't hard to find her in Modesto, and it wasn't that hard to fuck her either. He says being a sexually available woman is empowering these days. She says, fuck you, and he goes, now you're just quoting the original. Amber says they had to bring in the legacy characters to make it matter. Sydney sees a knife close by, and Amber says you can't have a Halloween without Jamie Lee. She says that Dewey had to die to make it real, so it wasn't just a run-of-the-mill sequel, because their movie has fucking stakes, because anyone can die in a requel. Sydney goes for the knife, and Amber stabs her in the stomach. Gail and Sam try to go to her, but Richie tells Sam to sit down. He tells her that he's sorry, but they can't let her go. This time, the fans matter. He asks if that about covers it, and Amber says that he nailed it, calling him baby. Which is super gross, because Amber's like 18 and Richie's 25, which means he groomed her and it's gross. Like, He tells her to get Tara out of the closet and they can start staging the bodies. Gail tells Sydney to stay with her, because she's very worried that Sydney is literally dying in this fucking kitchen. Richie says that Sam should have listened to Dewey because he nailed it in one. Look at the love interest. He calls her stupid and says he even had her convinced it could be her sister. Amber says that Tara's not in the closet, and Sam says she untied her, so he's not as persuasive as he thought. The phone rings, and Sam's like, that's for you. Richie says that Tara's a pincushion at this point. He tells Amber to fan out to look for her. She says she can't find her, and Tara hits her with her crutch over and over again. Sam rushes Richie and bites his arm and takes off. Amber hits Tara's leg with the cast and throws her over the couch. Amber comes in the kitchen, and Sydney grabs her, knocking her to the ground. Amber grabs the knife, and they hit her in the face with a glass bottle of alcohol, breaking it. Gail and Sydney throw her on the island. She falls down and tells him, wait, it's not my fault. Sydney's like, oh, the movies made you do it? And Amber's like, no, I was radicalized. I'm just a dumb kid. I wanted to be a part of something. And Gail's like, you killed my best friend. And Amber's like, yeah, and he died like a pussy. Which I thought was great, because she's trying this whole fake out, but she's really a fucking lunatic. So Gail punches her in the face, goes to choke her, but Amber hits her in the gunshot wound. Sydney grabs Amber and pulls her off of Gail. Amber slams her into the counter. Richie says the thing about slashers are the blood trails and asks if the one on the stairs is hers. Amber climbs on top of Gail, choking her, saying she's the last thing Dewey saw before he died, and she can't believe she gets to do them both. She says no last minute saves this time, and it's time to pass the torch, spitting all over Gail as she's doing it. Gail tells her that it's all hers and headbutts her. Amber stands up and accidentally turns on the stove. Sydney grabs the gun and Gail asks if she wants to do the honors, and Sydney's like, no, it's all you. Amber tells them to stop, saying that she's sorry about Dewey, and Gail says, fuck you, and shoots her. Amber falls face first onto the stove and catches on fire. She falls to the ground burning, and Sydney tells her to enjoy that torch. Richie makes it upstairs and opens the closet when Sam rushes out and attacks him. He yells for her to stop messing up his ending, and they fall to the ground. Richie grabs his gun and chases her down the stairs. They fall, and he stands up with the gun. She looks over at the umbrella stand and sees Billy in the mirror. He gestures down to the ground, and we see a knife at the curtain. Richie tells her that she's the villain, and the villain dies at the end. She crawls to grab the knife, and Sam tells him that she figured out a new rule. He flips her over, laughing, asking what rule. She tells him never fuck with the daughter of a serial killer, and stabs him, like, through the cheeks across the mouth with a knife. He falls back, and she climbs on top of him, stabbing him over and over and over again. Richie stops her, and we see a shot of her holding the knife in the air, just like Billy did at the end of Scream. Richie asks what about his ending, and she leans down, saying, "Here it comes," and slices his throat. She wipes the blood off the blade with her hand and stands back up. Sydney and Gail come out of the kitchen. Sam drops the knife, and Sydney tells her to be careful because they always come back. Sam shoots Richie in the chest and the head. And then Amber comes running out of the kitchen screaming with a knife. Tara shoots her in the head, saying that she still prefers the Babadook. And the sisters hug. Mindy is brought out of the house on a stretcher, and Sam checks on her. As she goes past another ambulance, we see her give a thumbs up, and Chad is our new Dewey. And he is alive and gives a thumbs up in return. Tara's in an ambulance and asks to go to a different hospital. Sam runs over to Sydney and Gail. She thanks them both for everything and asks if they'll be okay. Sydney says she'll survive because she always does. And Gail says she knows what she'll write about. Not this, saying that these fuckers can live in anonymity, but maybe about a good man who used to be the sheriff here once. Sydney says she would like to read that story. Sam asks if she's gonna be okay, and Sydney tells her eventually. Sam walks by a cop car and sees Billy's reflection. She climbs in the ambulance with Tara, and the doors close. We get a shot of the Mocker house with a news report happening. The movie ends with four Wes on the screen and birds whistling. Wes Craven was an avid bird watcher. So that's the movie. All in all, I loved it. I think it is the best sequel that we've had. The cast is fantastic. The story's great. I enjoyed both killers. If Wes couldn't be involved, then I think this is a lovely homage to him. And damn, I'm sad to see him go, but I had a feeling Dewey was gonna die. You don't see him at Stu's house, which of course has to be Endgame. Plus, you see Gail screaming. She's only gonna scream like that if it's Dewey or Sydney dying. I'm glad Chad survived, but I was super confused with his attack scene. Since we know Ghostface wasn't Liv. She has her phone the whole time. Did Ghostface make a dummy account to look like Liv? Was Liv being a bitch and sent him her location so he could watch her leave? And if so, was she really that close and just didn't hear him getting attacked? Like I mentioned earlier, I also didn't care for the confusion with the stab sequels. I feel like they should have done more research on that. Maybe said that Scream 4 was a stab sequel, and then nothing happened for over a decade, and then they made the shitty one. It's not hard to explain that. I have to say, while I'm glad they brought back the legacy characters, I'm glad it was in the capacity that it was. I didn't need another Sydney story. Sydney has her happy ending. And now I just want her to keep it. She's been through enough. And Dewey was such a bright spot in this movie. I loved his storyline with Gail, and it super tugged on your heartstrings. It sucks that they won't get a happy ending, but that's life. I'm a huge fan of this cast. Yes, Amber can be annoying and reminds me of the parts of Jill that I didn't like, but with rewatches, she has completely grown on me. The script came out, and for the most part, it's the same. Like I said, Tara and Amber are actually together in this one, so it would have been interesting to see the love interest with both sisters. I would have really liked to have seen that. The sites that released during pre-production said that they had previously dated, and in the script, Wes was also Tara's ex, and she left him to date Amber. The biggest change besides all of that is probably Vince's death. The bar scene happens, but Dewey is there drinking, and he actually drinks a lot more in the script, which I think would have been a major disservice to the Dewey that we all know and love, so I'm glad they toned it down. He tries to break up Vince and Chad, but Vince attacks him and, like, hits him in the head a bunch. He leaves, and Ghostface attacks him when his car breaks down on the side of the road. It made Dewey a possible suspect and got a little character interaction between Dewey and Gail. Gail was also on the Today Show, but that's NBC, and this is Paramount and CBS, so, you know, that's obviously not gonna work anymore. Sam and Tara's mom is actually home during all of this, And while it's weird to think of her not being around, that is kind of the status quo for Scream films. The parents are never home. There is a scene where her mom gets drunk and actually says stuff to Sam about her being the reason why her baby was attacked and how she's just like Billy. I'm glad all that shit was cut out because it was just not necessary. And Sam actually has a scene right before Wes and Judy's death scene where she crashes her car to get rid of Billy, which was stupid, and I'm glad that was cut. Wes's death scene is actually a little different. They had a voice-activated security system, so Ghostface, like, goes and opens windows and doors to kind of mess with him. So Wes tries to, like, take off and go down into a floor safe to get away from Ghostface, but Ghostface ends up shooting him in the head with one of Judy's guns. Which, if we're naming a character after Wes Craven, I don't want to see him get shot in the head. Like, it sucks that that character has to die, but whatever. Wes would have probably liked to have been named after a character that dies. I think going down into some sort of like floor basement safe thing is too on the nose with Halloween 2018, so I feel like that's why it got cut. Also, instead of going back for an inhaler, they actually go back for Tara's dad's necklace because when they were dating, she gave it to Amber, and when they go to leave town, Tara wants it back. So that's like, the inhaler thing I kind of get, the necklace thing would have been stupid. Liv also has a little bit more screen time when she goes outside to leave and she hears what sounds like a wounded animal and she takes out this giant ass knife that's bedazzled with the word precious and she takes off around the house and Chad actually goes outside to find her and dies. Chad was originally supposed to die with his throat being slit, but they end up changing it to let him survive. The road to Scream 5 was a long one. From the Horror Queers podcast, they did an interview with Kevin Williamson and we found out that Scream 5 was originally going to follow Jill going to college where there's a killer who knows that Jill is the killer, so she has to cover up and prevent him from exposing her. As of September of 2011, Scream 5 was moving forward without Kevin Williamson, and by February of 2012, he said that he's not doing it, for certain, and then the trial that I mentioned in the Scream 4 episode has started. He was also busy working on The Following, which was the original concept for Scream 3. In June of 2012, the Scream TV series was being developed at MTV, a new mask and a new voice came. Season 1 premiered in 2015, Season 2 later in 2016. In October of 2016, Season 3 is renewed, but in 2017 they announced they're rebooting and Scream Resurrection premiered as of July of 2019. Both Ghostface and Roger L. Jackson return. In May of 2020, Paramount announces Scream 5, and in August, the release date is set for January of 2022. In September, filming begins in Wilmington, and the title is announced as Scream. November of 2022, Kevin Williamson shows photos for the wrap and reveals the front of the Mocker House. During production, Marley Shelton tagged Skeet Ulrich in an Instagram post, which started rumors that he was coming back, and Melissa Barrera, who plays Sam, shared a video with Heather Maserato. Jack Quaid actually went on a Scream subreddit as Stabhead to see who everyone's favorite characters were and interact with the fan base. From the Dead Meat interview with Radio Silence, we find out that Dewey actually took in a lot of stray animals. David Arquette said that there was a prop barbecue award. Both Jack and Melissa said they read a script with a different ending, which I'm super curious about. Jack said they all thought different things were going on until they got closer to the end, which it became then obvious. She says at the table read that they weren't given the full script, only until the second act. Like I mentioned earlier, Dead Meat Cameos is the YouTube channel. The voice of the principal that I mentioned is Drew Barrymore. Matthew Lillard plays Ghostface because he is the voice of the Stab 8 Ghostface. He also has a voice cameo in the party scene where he says, "Cool house, Freeman." Jamie Kennedy is the voice that says someone's goofy ass dad is kicking us out. The thank yous at the credit scene are everyone that sent in a voice clip saying to Wes, which I thought was awesome. It made me like tear up because they brought everybody back that they could. There were some things that Rose McGowan said that they asked her for a voice clip and that she didn't want to do it. And now realizing that it was a to Wes clip, like I get not wanting to associate with anything Weinstein related, but this is for Wes. But they brought back Wes's widow, they brought back Patrick Lussier, who was the former editor, they brought like everybody back. Because I remember being at the theater because I stayed until the end credits scene because I said I was going to talk about this and forgot. I stayed through the entire credits because I was like, there has to be an end scene. They fucked around with Stu, like pretending like he didn't exist. There's an end credit scene. So I stayed and I waited. And I remember seeing all the thank yous and seeing them thank everybody that had been previously involved with the sequels. And I remember like, oh, that's really sweet that they're thanking all of them. And then nothing happened at the end of the credits. I literally was waiting because they were like, oh, there was a, you know, Stab subreddit. I was like, oh my God, it's gonna end with Stu on that message board being like a mastermind. And that's what 6 is gonna be about. But nothing fucking happened. I was so disappointed. I was like, oh my God. Because like my sister kept saying, you know there's nothing here. You know there's nothing here. And I was like, there's gonna be something for Stu. I also want to go over the deaths because normally there's confusion over who killed who. There's a few times where you're not entirely sure who it is, but you definitely know that it's one of the killers. There wasn't a weird thing of where this doesn't make sense. The director said that the writers actually thought of that and they know exactly who killed who. So with Tara's attack, the director said that it could be both. I said this is likely Amber, because Richie said that he was with Sam and Modesto, and she didn't say anything about him leaving, plus the video of Amber is pre-recorded. Vince's death, I would say, is Amber. She'd have easily gotten away with everyone as they were all going home, because Richie is at the hospital with Sam. For Sam's attack, this has to be Richie, which was super risky. Amber's at the sheriff's station with everyone else. For Judy and Wes, the director said it could have been both, and they're both unaccounted for and alone, so we could give Richie some credit here. And in the original script, there's a comment where it says that he put the gun to Sam's head like he did to Wes, so let's just give these to Richie. Dewey's death is obviously Amber. Richie's right there, so it has to be her. She also takes credit for it in the kitchen. Chad's attack is Amber because Richie was in the car with Sam and Tara. Mindy's attack is Richie because Amber's with Tara. Liv is obviously Amber. Sydney's call is Richie, which was very close. And then Richie is killed by Sam. Amber is killed by Tara. So what did you think? All in all, I really liked it. I hope we're getting a 6th one with as well as it's doing. I can't see how we're not. Plus, the director said that the writers already have an idea of where it's going to go. I truly want Tara to be the final girl because while I liked Sam, she was all right. Jenna Ortega was obviously the star. Like, she did so well. And I honestly, I could see it going different ways where Tara actually was part of it the entire time and wasn't necessarily an innocent victim. I think that would be a cool thing to see, or where Sam just loses her fucking mind because she's Billy's kid. I don't know. I think there's so many ways. Bring Stu back. I don't care. I think it would be nice to see where this could go, especially because I really like this movie. So, what did you think? Did you like it? Did you hate it? Tell me all your thoughts. You can find me all over social media. I am on Twitter and Instagram at TerrorTPod. We're also on Facebook in the TerrorT group. You can catch horror news, podcast updates, behind the scenes sneak peeks, all kinds of fun stuff. So come join us over there. If you dig what you're hearing, please subscribe to the podcast. And if you really like it, leave me a 5-star review. Again, I'm your host, Tara, and this has been Terror Tea.